Profile with Wamboi Mburu. This is a repeat of Profile that was aired on Wednesday.
My guest today, Joel Kobia. Mr. Joel Kobia with us today. This is a motivational speaker and he trains people in leadership and also in personal development. He has a master's in business administration, strategic leadership, finance, and also a CPA. He has served in various national and also international leadership positions, widely traveled, and he is a married man. And he is with us mainly to share his story of personal development and growth, and also to look at how he can help you where you are at. I am thinking of this young girl who sent a text to us yesterday. Just finished form 4. Mother not responsible. She has to think of how her sibling will go to school after her standard 8. She has to think about what happens to her when the results of form 4 get out. And she was asking what to do. And we are thinking of this kind of a person. Maybe that's also your situation. Feeling as though you have all this desire, all this potential. Seeing as though there are all these hindrances. We would like you to listen to Joel Kobia. But let's get first to hear how he talks. Get to hear his story. How are you, sir?
Fine, thank you.
You're well.
I'm well.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Thank you for coming and for sharing. I know it always takes a burden for someone to say, I would like to come and share my story.
I appreciate the invitation.
Can we try to start your story from where it began? Growing up.
Growing up.
Born, bred, you know, like that.
Ah, that sounds wonderful.
Let's start there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As you said, my name is Joel Kobia. I was born in the eastern part of Kenya, a place called Maua.
Ah, Maua.
Yeah, Maua, the mirror place, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and I started school from there, a school called Antoboshio Primary School. Many people find it hard to pronounce that name.
Say it again.
Antoboshio Primary School.
That sounds so Maasai.
Yes, it's so Maasai.
But it's in Maua.
Yeah, it's
all
in
right.
Maua, yeah. So I started on very well, class 1, up to class 4 there. Then in class 5, I shifted to Nairobi. My parents moved to South Sea, Nairobi. And I went to a school called Kongoni Primary School in South Sea. Then in class 5, later class 5, early class 6, I moved to a boarding school where I was up to class 8. Now, my journey of personal discovery mainly took off in the last year of my class 8, whereby I was required to select a high school which I would like to go to.
Yeah, like every standard 8,
like
isn't
every
it?
Other standard 8. And so there was this gentleman in my class called Patrick Maina Kirago that selected the school which I also selected, and that was Mang'u High School. And I knew, of course, Patrick always scored higher marks than me. And so it was a toss between going for Mang'u High School or changing my selection.
Why couldn't you both go? Didn't you think you could both go?
Yeah, of course, both of us would have gone to Mang'u High School.
But you thought they might want only one boy.
Yeah, but I thought only one boy might be picked, and that's Patrick Maina.
According to you.
According to me. Yeah, so by God's grace, both of us were selected to go to that school. We found ourselves there. And
so you left it there? You left the Mang'u selection?
No, I picked Mang'u selection, and when the KCPE results were out, I managed to be called to Mang'u High School.
Wow.
And Patrick Maina was also called to Mang'u High School.
Beautiful.
And so while in that school, Form 1, everything was okay, sometimes top 10. But when it came to Form 2, I started more or less performing not very well. In Form 3, as they say, hell broke loose.
What happened?
It came a time for us to pick subjects that you'd like to sit in KCSE selection. For me, Joel Kobia, I was quite good in arts. I was not very good in sciences. And so to prove a point to the rest of the world that I'm a Mang'arian, I'm a person from that school, and that I can score whatever grade everyone else from that school scores, I picked subjects which I was not good at. And so I picked biology and physics and all those other subjects which I was not performing well. Now, to my dismay, I moved from top 10 positions I was scoring in Form 1 and Form 2, and I found myself among the last in my class.
Oh,
that was bad.
That was scaring.
That was very scaring.
You can start wondering, what has happened to my head?
Yeah, people started wondering. In fact, I was very scared to go to South Sea to my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Kobia Thin. Because from top 10s to number last, that was too bad. And so my parents thought maybe I could be on drugs or there's something bad that I'm doing which has caused that major shift. But to me, deep down my heart, I knew I was born again Christian. I got born again while in class 6. And I lived a straightforward life. And so no one could understand me. The world could not understand me. The world could not understand why I was not producing the results that I was known
in
for.
That's quite a deep top 10 to last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was hit by what they call inferiority complex.
Oh.
I really hated myself. I didn't want to look at myself in the mirror. And sometimes we would go for functions, family functions. And I would prefer being with the watchman at the gate occasionally. Because I was not worthy of mingling with the people who are around me. I really hated myself.
Oh.
And so
oh.
I went back to school for term 2. And term 2, I thought maybe if I prayed harder, things would change. But unfortunately,
nothing. You were still a praying boy.
I was still a praying boy. I think by then I was the secretary to the Christian Union.
At Mangu.
At Mangu High School. And I would invite preachers to come and preach. And I would stand before other students and tell them about the saving grace of God and the power that is in the name of Jesus. And there's nothing that we can't do through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians 4:13.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I love that scripture. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so Form 3, second term, it was not good either. Of course, there was some slight improvement from around 40, from 43 out of 44. I managed to become 42 out of 44.
One.
That was a big testimony, my boy. I managed to conquer one whole breathing Kenyan.
Human being.
Yeah. Oh. And so gladly, we closed school and I traveled back to South Sea. My parents, Mr. and Mrs. Kobe, I gave them my report card. And I was hoping for a smile and a hug, but they were shocked.
They didn't think much of your conquest.
You know, I really worked hard. I would spend some time reading overnight. Sometimes I joined the basketball team, and at some point I decided to drop. And I also participate in sports and several other things. And so I decided to drop all those other things to concentrate on sports. And so I didn't understand why my parents could not see the improvement from 43 to 42. And so they decided to take me to a counselor.
Oh.
No holiday for me that time.
They really cared.
They really cared.
By the way, which born are you?
In my family, I'm a second born.
A second born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And so I was taken to a counselor, Form 3 second term. And this was a young couple. Currently, they are lecturers in one of the universities. And they sat with me, tried to find out what really is causing this young man not to perform. They tried to ask me several questions to find out maybe whether I could be indulging in bad companies and other bad things in high school that every other young man would be engaged in. But they found out that there was nothing wrong. And so
they believed you.
They believed me.
Okay.
And at least I could find some solace in them, some comfort in that at least for once there's a person here who believes that I'm not doing anything outside the norm. And so they referred me back home after the holidays were over, and I went back to school. And so at school, I found this person, my French teacher. I used to do French in one of my lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And his name was Mr. Rabu Fujir. He's a Rwandese. And so Mr. Rabu Fujir called me, and he told me that he believed in me, and he believes that there's some great potential in me. And I wondered, where is all this coming from? And he told me that he would like me to become a house captain. And he would also like me to become the president of the French club in Mangu High School. And I told him, Mr. Rabu Fujir, in Mangu High School, to become a prefect, you must be top 10 in your class. In order for you to become a French club president, you must be very good in French.
Why you?
I was not very good in French, but I was not badly off.
Okay, yeah. Somewhere there.
I was somewhere there.
In between.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I told Mr. Abufujir, I think that's a very tall order for me. And so to prove that he believed in me, he held my hand. We walked out of the staff room and we walked to the gate. It's quite a distance from the offices to the gate. And all that time, he was telling me that he's seen some leadership ability in me, some great potential in leadership, and he thinks that I can exploit it.
Mm.
And so I decided to believe him. And by the time I was walking back to the office from the gate, I think I was a transformed person. And so I agreed to attend the interview. In that school, you're always interviewed in order for you to become a prefect. And so I was called before a panel of all the teachers and the principal of the school, and they interviewed me to become the dorm captain of one of the houses called Old Boys. And to my amazement, I was given the job.
Wow. You passed the interview.
I passed the interview. So I knew that this was a clarion call for me to rethink about my destiny, to rethink about my life, my future, and how I regarded myself. And so from that time onwards, I think my life took a very big twist. I started believing in myself more, and I would always have talks with several other teachers to find out whether they think I'm a crap, I'm finished, I'm a good for nothing. And they all kept encouraging me that I'm not good for nothing and there's something good that can come out of me. And by God's grace and mercy, when we were closing school that term, it was much, much better for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the time I started more or less moving to the early 40s. And I got position 40 out of 44.
Wow.
And I was so glad this time round.
Yeah.
Ooh, back home. Gosh, do Conquered I go back three. Home?
Three more down.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Kobia, here I come. And so I knock and they open and I give them the report card. This time is 40 out of 44. And for once, there's some smile. I could see a giggle from a distance.
Yeah.
And I told God, thank you, at least for once.
They smiled.
They smiled at my results. And so from four, it was much better in my 30s. And by the time I was going for my KCSC, by God's grace, I was fully recovered. And so by God's grace, I was called to Nairobi University where I undertook the course, Bachelor of Commerce, BCom, and I specialized in finance option, which at that time was considered one of the most difficult areas of specialization. Yeah. And by God's grace and mercy, I scored a second upper.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so my parents, this time around, had believed that there was a complete turnaround. I also believed it. And so I decided to challenge myself to do something greater. And I went for a course called CPA, Certified Public Accountancy. And in my class, by God's grace, I also found myself passing those exams. And by the time I was graduating my BCom Finance second upper, I was also graduating CPA Section 6, which is the final level of CPA.
Wow.
Two in one.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did your parents say?
So by that time, I want to believe my parents had already believed in me. In fact, immediately after high school, they believed in my potential and they believed that there's nothing wrong that I was doing out there. And so Dad, during that time, gave me a book. He was a banker then, working in Nakuru. He was a bank manager then. And he gave me a book. He loved reading books, and he would come with several books in the house. And he came home with this book called Who Moved My Cheese?
Mm-hmm.
And he also came with another book called University of Success. And by reading that book, University of Success, that is immediately in my final term of Form 4 and early year after finishing my Form 4, I started discovering who I am, more or less, and I started developing a passion for helping humanity not to go through what I went through. I sat down, had a tough conversation with myself. I realized the mistakes that I had done in life, which had costed me that much, and so I started writing them down, so that I can help people out there not to repeat the mistake that I made.
Let's go to that. You wrote them down, so they must be clear in your mind.
Yeah.
Looking back,
what
were your mistakes?
Now, one of my greatest mistakes, which is being made by several people,
mm-hmm. In your observation, even now,
several people are still making that same mistake that I made. Their ages of 60s, others 70s, others 50s, could be in 20s, 30s, 15, at all ages of life, is more or less not sitting down to evaluate who we really are. In the corporate world, we have something that we call SWOT analysis. And under SWOT analysis, we sit to try to realize what's our strengths, what are my weaknesses, what are the opportunities that I can match with my strengths, and what are the threats that are seemingly going to bring me down in life. And so in life, we're supposed to match our strengths with the opportunities that come to us. Now, in my Form 3 first term, when I was given the opportunity to pick my best subjects, I would have sat down, maybe looked at my areas of strength, the arts, and picked the arts as opposed to the sciences that I picked. Most of the times, we sit down and the world around us calls us very many names. And so you could find a person somewhere working in an office being called an accountant, but deep down the heart of that person, they are not contented. And so I realized that I made a wrong choice of subjects, and that is what cost me all that mistake.
As basic as that.
As basic as that. And so most people in life, me included, don't find time for ourselves. That's the second mistake that I found out. We don't have time for ourselves. I could spend several hours on the phone, maybe speaking to my friends and go to places of socialization with my friends, talk with them and have merry with them. But little did I find time to sit with me, Joel Kobia, and ask myself, how am I faring? Am I happy about life? What is it that is making me happy? What is it that is making me sad? Where do I see myself tomorrow? Rarely do we sit down to talk to ourselves. And so I decided that I'll be sitting down with myself at least 15 minutes every day, trying to find out, how have you been, Joel? That sounds crazy.
Wow. The way you're even putting it, I find that funny. Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I want to see a bit more of this time itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Joel, how have you been? How was your day? Is there anyone who made you sad? Oh, sorry about that. Have you forgiven them for making you sad? Yeah. What is it that you wanted to do today, Joel, but by chance you didn't manage to do?
Oh, you prefer it in the evening or in the morning?
Sometimes can be in the evening, other times in the morning, early morning.
All right.
Yeah, but sometimes also in the evening before I go to bed. And so I try to catch up with myself. We are always told, for the people in relationships, in marriage, once your husband or your spouse comes back to the house, it's always good to find out how their day was.
Yes.
And so most of us are fond of doing that, finding out how other people's days was. But do you take time to ask yourself how your day was? Do you take your time to more or less encourage yourself if you had a bad day? Yeah. Mm. And so I started having meetings with myself, asking myself difficult questions, and at the same time, I sat down to answer them. Then the other bad mistake that I did was to compare myself with my peers. And I realized that this thing started when I was in class 8. It was a disease that I caught in class 8. And the disease came when I had to pick to make a selection of a secondary school that I wanted to go. And I discovered that the person that I mentioned earlier on had also picked that school. And so I hated to see that person succeed. I hated to see that person answer a question in class.
In standard eight. He became a rival.
He became a rival. And so I hated anything and everything that could signify that he is more successful than me. And so slowly
that man was going to pick him.
Yeah, he's going to pick him at my expense. And so slowly by slowly, I started eating into myself. They say that whatever you do to others somehow will come back unto you.
Wow.
Yeah, and so slowly by slowly, that aspect of wishing others bad started also eating me up. The more I wished them failure, the more failure came my way. The more I wished them discouragement, the more discouragement came my way. the more I wished them bad things, the more bad things came my way. And so I realized that this disease, wow, more or less, I continued with it to high school. Maybe it was in my subconscious mind, but I had not sat down with myself to realize that it's something that was really troubling me. Mm. And so even to this day, there are so many people out there who are wishing other children's performance bad so that their children can be seen better. Some are wishing their colleagues bad so that they can maybe be promoted or shine, outshine them. And so it's been a competition upon competition. And so that life of competition more or less wore me out. It derailed me. And that's why maybe number last could come, because I wished everyone would become number last so that I'd become number one.
It happened to you.
It happened to me. And so when I sat down with myself and realized that this thing was troubling me, I quickly prayed a prayer of repentance. I asked God to forgive me for that evil thing that I was doing. And so I started wishing everyone around me good. One of the things that really helped me in college and in campus is that I used to identify the weak students in various subjects, the areas of the subjects which I was strong at. Mm-hmm. And after class, I would sit down with them and try to make sure that I've coached them.
Wow.
I would try to make sure that anything that I knew is transferred to the person who doesn't know. And so slowly by slowly, that helped me a lot. Occasionally, God did miracles through me doing that. And those three lessons, I want to say, by God's grace and mercy, I've moved on with them. And they are a reason why I could be celebrating myself as opposed to tolerating myself on the face of the earth.
As of now. Let me just ask a few questions just based on the story we've listened to. And thank you. By the way, a few of your friends are already listening. And we are on the SMS line 20933. That's how I know there are some of his friends listening. Yeah. Arome is saying that's a nice story and says Ruabu. That's the name of your...
Ruabu Fujir. Arome. Yeah, Arome. I remember Arome when he
said yes. Yes, he says that was his French teacher too, of class 97.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And another of your friends who says, Karibu sana, my friend Joel Kobia calls you Joel, ready for your story, and quotes, says, your very inspirational book is a daily boost for me. Peter Munyi, that's the name.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So he seems to have a book that you've written. You are an author.
Yes, I'm an author.
You've put the story in a book.
Yeah, I've put the story in a book.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. So let us hear where you are at as we continue with the story of Joel. I am sure today you can meet with the Mualim, kind of, the one that pulled you out of your shell and took you to the gate, talking to you to become a prefect.
Yes.
And it just transformed you.
Oh,
maybe today Kobia can actually become that to you. Use this time. We are here up to 1 o'clock. Do write to us, tell us where you're at. Let's see how we can help.
Yes.
The SMS line 20933 and our Twitter at Hope On Air. That's at Hope On Air. Let's get some of you just writing in and telling us where you're at. Junior Wanson, I will be coming to your specific issue and question, but he says, first of all, before writing the question, I just love that testimony, my brother. May God bless you. You've inspired me, and when I grow up, I want to be like you. Then he writes a question that I will get to. Let me ask a few questions for myself.
Yeah.
Listening to the story, I'm just wondering, even at form three, so form three, term one, you already saw what your choice of subjects had done.
Yeah,
there was never a chance for you to change.
Yeah,
or didn't you know what the problem was?
Okay, by then I knew what the problem was, but I've always been a very optimistic person. And so in as much as I knew that I had picked the wrong choices, I would tell myself, the God that I pray to can move mountains.
You were walking the walk of faith.
Yeah, I was walking the walk of faith. In Mangu High School, we have a place that we used to call Arboretum. And I remember I would go to that place and wake up and go to that place very early in the morning, dawn around 5. I would kneel down before God and tell him that one day, I know these result slips that I'm lifting and they're badly off, I'll lift up them one day just to prove that, God, you're able. And so I thought God would all of a sudden do a miracle. I go to the exam room from 43rd or 44, and voila, I find myself number one or number two. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it really never was part of your options to try and change.
Okay, I tried to change, but unfortunately, at that time, so much was happening in my life. I remember at some instance, I had a meeting with my biology teacher, who was my class teacher then, and my parents. And my class teacher tried to front several options that he thought would work for me. And I want to believe that was one of the options, but I think it was a bit late in that you've already registered and you've moved into a new class. You've gotten accustomed to your classmates. They know you're in that class. And so the pride of life, more or less.
Yeah.
I believe that I'm a Mangu High School chap, and so I should perform like everyone else. And so besides all that was happening, I still had the hope and the belief that it would work out for me. But the pride in me also could not allow me to reconsider
my options. To kind of say, yes, it's not working.
Yeah, it's not working. I continued pressing on to my detriment.
Yet you finally broke through. Let's call it a breakthrough.
Yeah, finally.
Because you continued with that.
Yes.
You graduated from Form 4.
Yes.
With that set of subjects.
Yeah.
That hadn't initially been your strength.
Yeah.
You go on to university.
Yes.
Right up to the master's level.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask you something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So are you in your strength even as we speak?
Yes, for now I'm still in my strength.
Tell me, how do you explain? You left your strength in Form 2.
Yeah, I reconnected with my strength
you
again.
You did?
After high school.
Yeah.
Upon reading the book Who Moved My Cheese, yeah, about changes and your cheese has moved, the thing that you loved and treasured has been taken away from you. Do you sit there and cry about it?
No.
And also the book about the University of Success, yeah. I sat down and reconsidered my options, and so I decided to play in my area of strength.
Which is? At that point now, you graduated from Form 4.
Yes.
With that set of subjects.
Yeah.
That hadn't initially been your strength.
Yeah.
You go on to university.
Yes.
Right up to the master's level.
Yes, yes.
Now, I want to ask you something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So are you in your strength even as we speak?
Yes, for now I'm still in my strength.
Tell me, how do you explain? You left your strength in Form 2.
Yeah, I reconnected with my strength
you
again.
You did?
After high school.
Yeah.
Upon reading the book Who Moved My Cheese, yeah, about changes and your cheese has moved, the thing that you loved and treasured has been taken away from you. Do you sit there and cry about it?
No.
And also the book about the University of Success, yeah. I sat down and reconsidered my options, and so I decided to play in my area of strength.
Which is? At that point now, you did your SWOT again?
Yeah, I did my SWOT again,
uh-huh.
Which is people skills. I realized that I'm very good
at people skills.
And no wonder Mr. Rabu Fujil realized that strength while still in Form 3, and he told me that he can see some leadership ability in me.
Ah.
And so I realized, in order for the world to celebrate this person called Joel, he has to step out of the area where he forced himself to, into an area whereby he can perform freely.
Yes.
And manifest holistically.
Ah.
And so I decided to take up every leadership position that was in the offering. At college, when they advertised the position of class rep, yeah, or class representative,
mm-hmm.
I picked the position. Yeah, at the university, more or less, I also picked the position. And so while leading people, I realized that I was performing better with regard to mm-hmm. my love for self.
Yeah.
I loved myself more.
Yeah.
I treasured myself more.
All right.
And I started realizing that this is the thing that is going to more or less skyrocket my achievements on the face of the earth.
And that's what you are doing as we talk.
And that's what I pursued up to this time.
All right. Would you say that you are a trainer?
Yes.
In leadership?
Yes.
And in personal development?
Yes.
You also work in a bank?
Yes.
What are you using there? Which strength are you using there?
Thank you so much. Now, in the bank where I'm working currently, mm-hmm. I'm using a combination of my strengths.
Okay.
One of the strengths is leadership. And I would say that leadership is what brought me to the bank.
Oh.
In order for me to get the job where I'm currently at, working as a deputy accountant of East African region in one of the NGOs, yeah, whether it's church in Kenya, managing their property and all that. And while still there, they voted me to be the national treasurer of their SACCO. Now, while still in the SACCO, cooperative bank officials came to the SACCO, and they requested us to buy shares into the bank. And so as the treasurer, I'm the person who made the decision for us to buy the shares. After making that decision, we were called for an AGM, an annual delegates meeting. And while in that delegates meeting, I remember that time I was in my final year in campus, there was an opportunity for us to pick delegates, elect delegates of Nairobi. Yeah, all the SACCOs gathered, yeah, and we're supposed to pick delegates. And from the delegates of Nairobi, we're supposed to have elected three directors, national directors for the bank. By then, I became the youngest national delegate for the bank. At around the age of 26, 25.
Wow.
And so I vied, I also attempted to vie to become a director of that bank. But unfortunately, I think that was a fast stretch.
Yeah.
And as delegates, we used to meet with the managing director and the board of management. As delegates, we would advise them on how the bank is supposed to be run. As delegates, we would more or less advise on where the new branches are supposed to be open and general other general areas with regard to the management of the institution. And so at some point, I decided to jump ship from the place that I was and join the bank.
All right.
And so if I look back so many years down the line, I can still trace my being in that bank to my leadership abilities.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm still playing my areas of strength. Then in that organization, I've also tried my very best to work on the areas of my strength. And my areas
you
of
don't
my strength,
stop working on areas of strength. You don't just relax and say, this is it.
Yeah,
God gave me.
Yeah. So, I can't say this is it. God gave me.
No.
Because one of the entry points to the bank was I had to have a degree, which I had then. And I realized that I had also done CPAs. And so I tried to work it out so that I can become one of the team players in the finance department. And so by God's grace, I got transferred to the finance department. And in that finance department, I like doing a lot of financial analysis and all that, playing around with numbers. I've been good at numbers all through. And so that's the other area of strength, which by God's grace, I'm playing.
All right.
The other area of strength is in leadership. Still in the organization, any leadership opportunity that is there for staff to vote people into leadership, I'm always there.
You offer yourself.
I always offer myself because I realize that it's out of leadership that I'm going to get self-actualized.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I picked every other position of leadership opportunity that was there. And currently also serving as the deputy chairman of the organization SACCO. Also in the prayer team as the organizing secretary and several other things.
Okay.
That call for leadership.
Because you feel that's your strength.
I feel that's
and
my
you
strength.
Use every opportunity to develop.
To play my strength, yes.
And to use it for someone else's.
Yeah, and also to use it for someone else's benefit.
Amazing. Yeah. I will come back to this story. And you have so many questions, I can't even begin to prepare you. We will try as much as we can to connect with our listener and just try and help.
Okay.
As the Lord will lead you. And because of your experience, because we've listened to that.
Yeah.
Cecilia says, Joel, your story has really touched me. Is it possible for you to help my son who went to Mangu High, did not perform well, and since has changed completely, whether he was in Mangu or where?
Yes.
He may be a representation now
yes.
of someone who didn't do well,
yeah.
they seem to have had a great opportunity, depending on the school
yeah.
or the parents, able to just pay fees for them.
Yeah.
They are not having performed well. Something happens and they change completely. Let's talk broadly and then we zero in on Cecilia's son.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Madam Cecilia, and thank you also for your wonderful question. Now, in the words of Napoleon Hill in his book Think and Grow Rich, he said a statement to the effect that whatever the mind of a man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. I want to believe greatness is in every person on the face of the earth. Every person on the face of the earth was born with a seed of greatness. In our destiny path to achieve that greatness, of course, there could be a lot of valleys and mountains. And all these are directed to helping us become reconciled to ourselves. All of them are pointers to helping us really get connected to who we are. The Word of God reminds us that in all things, God works together for the good. And so, Madam Cecilia, for your son, I want to believe what is happening or what happened to his life is working together for his good. All that is required of us is to try and see the good in it. For now, it might be a bit hard to see it, but if we keenly look at it, then we're going to discover the goodness in it.
Back to what you said happens in the corporate world, and then telling us how you had to sit with yourself at some point and do the SWOT, a kind of analysis.
Yes.
Would a SWOT analysis change? What you would have considered your strengths in Form 2,
mm-hmm.
would they still be your strengths as of now?
Majorly, the talents, the giftings that we have, those are basically what you're calling strengths.
Yeah. The abilities, the inborn.
Some could be inborn, mm. others could be acquired
okay.
as a result of interacting with your environment. And so this brings to the question the aspect of self-discovery, trying to understand who we really are. And discovery is the process of learning something that was not known before or finding something that was missing or hidden. In other words, there's a formula that can work for him if he only realizes the formula. And one of the greatest things would be for us to sit down with the son, try to dig into his life. One of the best ways would be more or less to sit down with him and try to look at his life journey from when he was born. What are those things that he liked doing? What are those things that gave him satisfaction? What are those things that the world celebrated him for doing? And so when you start on the point of strength, that basically gives him hope. It's like a first aid.
Mm.
It's like what Mr. Abufujir did to me, giving me hope that despite what the world says about you, something good can still come out of it.
Despite your grades that are on paper.
Yeah.
Yes, as of
yeah.
then.
Yeah, there's something good that can come out of it. And so if the son or anyone else going through this can sit down and try to realize the areas of the strengths and try to focus on those areas, more or less, that is going to give you a relief. They say that if you judged the chameleon on its ability to run a marathon, then the chameleon will forever live thinking that it's foolish or good for nothing. So it's good for us to realize the area of our strength and try our very best to work in that area. And so once we've sat with Cecilia, once Cecilia sat maybe with his son and gone through the life journey, tried to pick out the strengths, the areas that have been celebrated in the past, we can try to zero in and see what is it that can come out of those good areas.
Yes.
It's also good to look at our weaknesses. What are those things that are always derailing us from achieving our best? It could be the bad company that we're always keeping. It could be the interactions that we are always engaging in. It could be the work environment that we are in. It could be more or less the kind of habits or mannerisms. Could be some mannerisms like procrastination. You have the power and ability of doing something, but you tell yourself, I'll do it tomorrow. And as they say, tomorrow will never come.
Mm.
They say that we need to do the difficult things when they are easy, the great things when they are small, because a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And so we must be ready to take that one step.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And Robert Njuge is saying he's glued to his seat. Oh, antenna is up. Blessing God for Hope FM and Brother T. Joe. People call you that?
Yeah, they call me Teacher Joe.
T. Joe. For the whole healing and transformative impartation. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Robert.
And someone saying thank you for bringing him. Please, would you give us his contacts? That is very important for us parents. I've actually noticed I have a lot of parents writing, and so we will give them some contact. It seems many of them will be asking on behalf of their children.
Yeah.
We'll do that. But trying to prepare for this being on air, I did ask you who in a specific listener you would really want to talk to. Your answer is here. Here is someone who fits the category you told me. People who are working but very unsatisfied with where they are. Listen to this. She's Helen. She says, a single mom who has struggled with personal development for long. I am very good with people and I love serving and helping others. Actually, I know my purpose is to serve others. I enjoy guiding and empowering people. My passions are in catering and design. I need your help, please.
Yeah.
How do I get to serve and yet earn a living for my teenage daughter and I? I believe are meant to be an entrepreneur. Wherever she is at, yet again, she represents that person.
Yeah.
Working somewhere, earning somewhere, but feeling that's not me. I wish I could do something different.
Yeah.
And this whole thing for a Kenyan is very important. Yeah. The one of, how can I pursue that and still earn a living, get some money?
Get some money out of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right.
Ah, wonderful. Now, thank you so much, Helen, for that wonderful, wonderful question. I want to believe Helen's question is representing over 60% of our listeners.
Maybe.
To my amazement, maybe. Because most of us are doing things just for the sake of the coin that we get at the end of every month. We work not necessarily for enjoyment or because we have a passion in it, but most people work because of the bills that they have to foot at the end of every month. Because
you can't ignore those.
Yeah, you can't ignore all that. Yeah.
Yes.
What I can say about that is in my life, I've also experienced the same. I've also been through what Helen has been through or is going through. Do you know what, Omboy? While still working in the bank, I've had engagements to go speaking out there. While still working in the bank, I've gone to South America. I've gone to South Korea. I've been to Nigeria on very many occasions. I've been to Ghana. I've been to Benin the other month. Yeah, South Africa on several occasions. And some of these travels are all connected with my life purpose, with my vision, with my passion in life. And so someone would ask, how could you be working in a bank and still manage to do all these things? How could you be working in a bank and still manage to author a book, maybe? And one thing...
Oh, because someone might think, to do this, you must stop this.
Yeah, you must stop this.
All right.
Yeah. So for Helen, I'll try to encourage her. If she's employed somewhere or if she's working somewhere, she should give the best possible to the employer, the best foot forward for the employer. The Bible tells us that whatever your hands finds to do,
do it with all your might.
Do it with all your might.
Yes.
So may your employer say that you're the best of staff in that organization. At the same time, realize that there'll come a day when you'll have to leave that organization. It could be by natural or even unnatural means. Yeah. And so once you've left the earth, what would you like the world to say about you? You said that you like catering and design, and you have
serving people,
guiding, empowering, doing all those things. I want to believe in your organization where you're working. You can still try to push or more or less or negotiate with the management to take you to a department or a division which is going to help you manifest your areas of strength.
Okay.
I realized that in a branch, maybe my strengths will not come out. And so I kept writing to the HR director, telling her that I would wish to go to this. I would like to do this. And so
You would let your need known to the HR?
No, to the HR. From the second month, in fact, I resigned. I wrote my resignation letter in the second month of my employment because I was given the job of a teller. And I ended up losing a lot of money for the organization. Yeah.
That's not you.
Yeah, I lost a lot. And so I realized that this is not my area. I thought maybe my area is in relationship management. And so I was transferred to a branch whereby I could do relationship management for members of parliament and several other businesses, supermarkets and all that. And so that, in essence, helped me manifest the area of my strength. So for you, Helen, what I would say is that you can still manifest your area of strength in your organization. Then outside the organization, I want to believe you have a lot of free time. You have your evenings, you have your Saturday, yeah? So on the side, you can try to talk to a person who is doing what you'd like to do.
All right.
Maybe you can be a venture capitalist whereby you invest money for this person to manage that organization, or you could be partners, but you're the inactive partner. You're not very active in the business. Yeah. So you work on it until when the time comes for you to step aside from your 8-to-5 job and you venture into what your heart's desire is, what your passion is.
All right.
Yeah.
And our next listener says, very inspirational. I have a son in Form 2. In Form 1, he brought home very strange positions. I tried to program his study schedule over the holidays. He never follows. I quarrel the boy, it moved. He keeps saying, Mom, trust me, I'll improve. Mm. Please advise me on how to handle this lad. Let's talk to the mother of this lad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the words of T. Eva Hacker, he says that how you do anything is how you do everything. How you do anything is how you do everything. One of the best ways of teaching our children the kind of life that they should live would be by example. If, for example, I would like my son to be waking up at 4 a.m., it would be best for me to demonstrate.
The waking up
at 4 a.m. Yeah. If I want my son to be reading maybe between 9 and 10 p.m., it would also be good for me to create such an enabling environment whereby I can also be setting some time aside to show him that I'm not giving you a punishment. See, I'm also doing it. More or less mentorship, more or less going through it. Then the other thing, it's also very good for us to sit with the young people and try to understand, what is it that you'd like for me to do for you, which I'm not doing for you? It could be that the son is doing that out of rebellion. Maybe there's some aspect of his life that he wants you to notice, but you're not noticing. And so he has to do something out of the norm just to catch your attention. Most of us as parents, maybe you're not there for our children. You're out there looking for millions and thousands so that we can fend them, yeah? Mm. And so we give them top quality life. But when it comes to quality life in terms of spending time with them, most of us are not ready for that. So I would wish that maybe we try spending a little more time. Let's also have one-on-one conversations with the child. Try to find out what is it that is causing you not to do what I would wish us to do. If the person likes games like maybe football and all that, spare some time to watch the soccer game for him, with him. Yeah, let you stoop as low as he can get so that you can talk from a common platform.
Yes.
And I want to believe once you've done that, try to find out what is it that he wants, try to create time for him. Then the other good thing would be for you, more or less, to try to work on his areas of strength. What subjects is he performing well at? Is it chemistry? Then applaud him for the good work that he's doing in chemistry. And next time, you'd want an applause in maths, you'd like to also have an applause in English or those other subjects. Yeah, so you start from the known to the unknown. Yeah, because how you do anything is how you do everything. Mm-hmm. So applause for the small things that he's doing, and once he has achieved greatness, then you're also going to applaud him for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something, maybe following on that, because your parents could easily have written to us that kind of text.
Yeah.
when you were in Form 3.
Yes.
Yes, they easily could have written exactly what she's written to us. Have you told us exactly what you would have wanted your parents to do at that point?
Yes, that's what...
Other than suspect you of things you were not doing. Yeah. Is that what you would have wanted them to do?
Yeah, that's what I would have wanted them to do.
Okay.
Because sometimes you push yourself to the limit. You do the very best that you can do. But sometimes they don't appreciate. Ombo, you've heard of parents whereby you are number one in class. You bring marks home and the parent would ask you, is this the best that you'd have done? And as a child, you'll wonder, is there any position that is better than number one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So let's appreciate the little.
Okay.
The much.
The child is
then as the child progresses, then he'll also learn to appreciate and also do better in the areas of his weaknesses.
All right.
Yeah.
Henry Mainge, you know him?
Henry Mainge, yes, I was his best man during the wedding.
Oh, he calls you dad?
He calls me dad.
All right, he says that, Joel, that's awesome. It's awesome to hear your wonderful talk. It's really motivating me. God bless you. And says you've been a blessing to me.
Thank you.
All right. And then we get this one that is actually current, very current.
Yeah.
Because we just got the standard 8 results as a nation.
Yeah.
So this parent is asking, is it advisable to repeat a child if she just got average in order to improve her marks if she, and then is it advisable if she is not willing, what would be the consequences? The specific child she's talking about had 315 and was in a private school. She's not willing to repeat. The mother wonders whether to push her into repeating, because the mother seems to think she could have done better. What do you think?
Wow, that's a very common question as well. Last week I was also handling a similar case, but this was of a girl who had performed very well, according to my thoughts. She had 407. Her target was to get Alliance. So she was telling us that if she doesn't make it to Alliance, she's willing to repeat.
Oh.
400.
And seven
out of 500. I mean, she's a creme de la creme. She's among the best of the best. That's what we say in French in this nation. And so for the parent whose child has just finished class 8, got 315 in a private school. Abraham Lincoln, one of the founding presidents of America, said that if you give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I would take 4 hours sharpening my knife. And so those are 4 hours of preparation. Wow. Most of us in life, you just look at the mark, the thing that you want to achieve, the target. And so before taking any time to prepare, to count your costs, to put your house in order, to gather everything that is required for you to walk that journey, most of us just start running. And somewhere along the line, your gas gets finished and you faint. And so once you're given the 6 hours to cut the tree, the first 4 hours would be for preparation. And so I would encourage the parent to this wonderful child. 315 is not badly off. We've seen people who have gotten over 400, like in the high school that I was in. They admit among the best of the best in Kenya. And we had a person who had scored, who was among top 10 in the country. But when it came to the classwork in the high school, he was ranked among the poorest.
Oh.
Yeah. He's among the people that I was competing with in Form 3. To get 40 and above. It was in that category. But these are gentlemen that had been celebrated a few years before as one of the gurus in KCPE. And so I would encourage this parent, let's try to spend more time with this student. Let's help this child to realize the mistake he or she made in life.
All right.
Let's try to look at the areas of strength of this child and try to maximize on them as opposed to minimizing on them. Because once this child has realized what cost her to get the 315, she can go to the worst of the worst schools in this nation and she still outperform all those others in national schools. So let's not crucify our children just because they didn't meet our expectations. But let's instead try to sit with them, more or less look for a career advisor or a counselor. We have several colleges that have career advisors who can sit with a child, try to find out what is it that they would like to do in life and more or less help them to get there. And once they've realized where they fell, where they lost the track, I'm sure they're going to be celebrated. as opposed to being tolerated on the face of the earth.
So bottom line, you are not encouraging this parent to push the daughter into repeating.
Yeah, I wouldn't encourage.
What did you do with your 407 girl who herself is willing to repeat?
With my 407, before coming to the studio today, I was called by someone telling me that the mother wants to go do shopping.
Okay.
And so I want to believe it's shopping.
That she has finally agreed.
Yeah.
Whichever school she's selected in.
But I still believe she's going to get to that national school because she was in a public school.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Join us next week for another life-changing story on Profile, only on Hope FM, where you listen and live.